But there's some things that we can't do. I mean, I've always dreamed about it, and I've thought I wanted to, but I would have loved to go on to the next level of football after high school. Maybe I could have played some junior college football in the secondary, maybe. But number nine for New Orleans Saints, do y'all know who that is? He's probably the only one who has a safe job right now for them. We can't play professional football, but do we not love the Saints, right? I mean, come on, we love the Saints so much. When I get a report on Sundays, if it's during football season, part of my report is what time do the Saints play? Because we know. I know you guys, and that's serious. That is the absolute truth. Those are our heroes because we can't play football, right? I mean, let's be honest. If you could play professional football, you'd be playing professional football if you love football or baseball or whatever you do. But those are our heroes because we get to live vicariously through them, so we become Saints fans, and we love that, right? Can I tell you greater heroes than that? I can't go to Africa. I can't go to Latin America. I can't go to Europe and share Jesus there. I'm called to share Jesus with you, and we share Jesus. But we gather together in the We Factor, and we give, and we send out heroes. Everybody say heroes.
Heroes.
We send out heroes to other countries and other places, and sometimes here in the U.S., to do what we can't do. Isn't that awesome? God, I can't do it, but I'm going to be a fan of those who can do it, and I'm going to support those who can do it. And that's, for us, we call those people missionaries. Isn't that cool? We should have, like, stickers and stuff on our cars and on our refrigerators and everything that says, like, you know, go Bob and Lisa, and go Gene and Tisa. It just so happens that they rhyme, so our missionaries tonight. You know, that's how I schedule people. That's what I do right there. It just happens that way. But we have some heroes here tonight. And, man, we're so excited to hear from them. And we're going to start with Gene and Tisa, right? You guys come on up. And they're missionaries. They're right here. So you guys tell us what you do, who you are. We are so excited to celebrate you tonight.
Thank you. Such a pleasure being here. I think the last time I was here in this church was in 2004. You supported me as a home missionary, and I was working over at School of Urban Missions with another one of my heroes here, with Pastor Don Logan in the back. And yeah, it's just so beautiful how in the kingdom, everything in the kingdom's relationship, and how beautiful it is, you know, as family. We truly, we're just so grateful for the churches that, you know, have supported us so faithfully and prayed for us, and you guys prayed and supported me as a home missionary, and then God gave me the call to go to Africa, and I served for 5 years in Mozambique with Heidi and Roland Baker's ministry, Iris Ministries, and that's where I met my husband. So we served together there. We got married in Pemba, Mozambique, and then we were asked to go in 2009 to pioneer a children's village in South Africa. So now we've been there for 8 years, and we're just so overwhelmed by just the beauty of who he is and the beauty of the adventure every day, just asking him, what does love look like today, Jesus? What are you going to do today? How can I partner with you today? And so I'll just give you a little overview of our little neck in the woods, and then I think Gene is just going to, he'll fill in the gaps, yes, because I always forget something. But yeah, we arrived in 2009 in South Africa to pioneer a beautiful children's village that the ministry had already purchased the land, these four beautiful homes, and we, having worked at a large children's village in Pemba, Mozambique, we had a dream in our hearts to be able to see family-based care. You see, we had worked at a very large orphanage. We don't really like that word. and we had, you know, we had just seen it all. And really in our hearts, we knew God has ordained the family. See, God wants a family for every child, a forever family, a mother and a father, not rotating staff, not, you know, big dorms. He wants a family. And so in 2009, this beautiful piece of property had been bought, and we were asked, do you want to, you know, help us, to, you know, get it running? And we're like, yes, we're all in. And now that dream has just exploded. And so we currently have 26 children, and we have 3 homes. That our vision is really to empower these families, just do life together, you know, sharpen each other, pour into each other, disciple these families, watch these children that come. They come orphaned, they come abandoned, they come abused, and we watch Jesus just heal them in his presence. And we're not really slick. I mean, now we have a social worker, and she's like a counselor. But we just get these kids into the presence of God, and we watch him break off the orphan spirit. And we try to do really cool things like art therapy and play therapy, and we're learning more and more. But really, it's his presence. And the minute that child knows that he's a son or a daughter, and that they're so loved, and that they have greatness in them, and we get to just see their little hearts, you know, come alive, and so that's what we're doing at Michael's Children's Village, and our vision is to empower the family, not to keep them, but to actually launch them. So we watch these families come together, and you know, the house parents become mom and dad to the children, and then anywhere from 3 to 5 years, we want to launch that family back into the community, getting the foster grant money from the government of South Africa. So then we have a sustainable model that really empowers families. So pray with us. That's our big, you know, beautiful goal. I guess we're working on our 3rd family right now. We've launched the house parents, and so we're working on being able to see that family just thrive within the community. So pray with us. So that's Michael's Children's Village. But we also oversee a community ministry that has just been birthed out of the beauty of, you know, the felt needs of our community. Our community has very high HIV rate, very high unemployment, very used to be high crime. We're seeing that transformed in Jesus' name. It used to be a no-go zone. Like, the police wouldn't even go there at night, you know? It just was so known for crazy, crazy crime. But now it's known for Jesus. And we're really seeing him shine. And so we have this community center called Village of Hope. And that's where we have a Bible school. We have a feeding program, a preschool, a sewing center that's on and off to be able to empower women with job skills. And so that's one of the our favorite places to be as well. And then another ministry that just got birthed a few years ago, one of our missionaries, she just really felt like she was supposed to go out on the streets and just start handing out roses and loving on the women working in, yeah, in the pleasure industry. So she went out, and she got invited into a brothel. And the guy in charge just invites all the girls into this room and just said, go ahead, just pray for them, preach to them. And we've been in that brothel now for close to 5 years, faithfully going in, seeing beautiful women being able to come off of the streets. And so, and now we just planted our 2nd church in another community where the ladies were working a truck stop. And so now we planted a church there. And so we're seeing the same thing. And we, you know, over the years, we've had a lot of beautiful, you know, the battle is real. You know, and with some of these ladies, you know, it's just been a learning, beautiful. A lot of them will stay free. Many of them run right back to those streets. And so we've learned that we really need to have like a 10-day boot camp where the ladies get completely We take away their phones. We just get them away from every influence they could have, and we just love on them and give them a lot of time with Jesus, a lot of different skills and such. We call it a boot camp because it's really a boot camp. Like, they have to exercise and, you know, just a lot of beautiful things to just engage their souls in Him. And, yeah, and so pray with us. We need to have another one of those. So there's always a lot going on, but we're just so grateful because you are so part of it. As you, you know, pray for us, we're together in this beautiful harvest. And so thank you for having us. I know my husband has a little thing that he wants to encourage us.
Thank you, honey. Hallelujah. Wow, thank you, honey. Man, I just so love the South. I'm from the North. I love the hospitality here. Pastor Keith, Pastor Logan, you just shine for Jesus. Thank you for having us here. Thank you for supporting us. You know, King David, when he went out to war with his mighty men, 400 of them went out to war, 200 stayed back. And when they came back, they were arguing about the spoils. And David said, well, we were all going to share equally. So I believe as you support us and you pray for us, you share equally in all the rewards that we gain to advance the kingdom of God in South Africa. So we thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your support. One of the things we're doing at Michael's Children's Village on the other side of the road, we have 81 acres altogether, is we're harvesting. We haven't started harvesting. I'm just prophesying now. We're growing macadamia trees. So we're helping to try to do something to become self-sustaining. And on the Michael's Children's Village side, we're building a kingdom equipping center that'll host between 50 and 70 visitors at a time. So we want to just make an open invitation, pastor and anyone that would like to come, and you guys come, bring a team. And I guarantee you, your life will never be the same. In 2018, August of 2018, we're going to start our first international mission school. We're working with Surprise Sitoli. He was the international director for Iris Ministries. We've been serving with him now for 8 years. I believe I just saw something on Facebook today. I think he's going to be on Sid Roth next week. He's raised like 7 or 8 people from the dead. We don't know the exact number, but he's a very humble man. We've been working with him now 8 years. And I'll be honest with you, I've seen him get upset one time in 8 years. And the man is so full of joy, it's contagious. And I'm just telling you, when you work with humble servants of God, it's easy to serve. And I just love your vision statement here, loving God, loving people, and loving life. Basically, that's our statement. It's love God and love people. The gospel is really simple. And one of the, I hate to use the word mantra, but one of the messages of Heidi Baker, it's stop for the one. It's basically love the person that God has put in front of you. So this morning when I was going on a prayer walk asking about what to share, I felt like, with pastor's permission after, if I could pray for anybody, but the Lord was giving me a couple words of knowledge. For anybody that's been in car accidents, that has suffered trauma from car accidents, after the service, with pastor's permission, we would love to pray for you. And people suffering from headaches, and also people that are woken in the middle of the night. So we've just been having a wonderful time traveling throughout the states on our furlough, and it's been we've been married since 2007, and we've been wanting to come to New Orleans since then, because Tisa was down here for 5 years. So we're so happy to be here. It's such a joy and an honor to be with you all, and we just thank you for your love, your support, and your prayers. And just share one little testimony of what I do. We're the directors of the ministry, so I oversee all the finances. But we have 14 Iris churches that we help oversee. That's Iris, I-R-I-S, not ISIS, Iris. Iris Ministries. And so one of the my favorite part of my job is to visit these churches and preach 3-4 times a month, and also to teach at our Bible school, and just loving God and loving people. So, Pastor, thank you. And I think maybe do we just invite Bob up, or we just turn it back over to you?
Thank you, guys. Okay, so, Gene, and your last name is?
Nicole.
Because we have introduced them as Tisa and Gene Miller, which is Tisa's maiden name, and we've been supporting you since you were a Miller, right? So, hey, you know, it's a new age, dude, so it's awesome that you took her name. It's awesome that you took her name. Man, I'm already excited about you praying at the end of the service, so you guys be looking forward to that. Thank you so much. We're so glad to have you tonight. So we have Bob and Lisa Holloway. I'm pretty sure I have that last name right. They're coming now. They're in Latin America. Now, I was thinking Venezuela, but you guys evidently are all just all over Latin America, right? So they're going to tell you about that. Come on up, guys. I know Bob's name from the district from when I was here a long time ago. I'm not sure we've ever met, but I definitely saw him. I remember him. I saw him at the crawfish boil at the district council, and he was there for that, and I knew I liked him because I met him at a crawfish boil. You can't go wrong with that. So here's a couple of more heroes, guys, Bob and Lisa Holloway.
It's awesome to be here with you guys tonight. Thank you in advance for your prayers and support. Did everybody get a prayer card? These are so that you guys can pray for us, so you can see our smiling mug and just think about us and the ministry. We've been missionaries for 24 years now, past 17 years in the nation of Venezuela. But if you know anything about the political situation in Venezuela, which here in the U.S. you don't get much news on it, they've kicked all news outlets out of the country. But that government is literally falling apart. The country's falling apart. So the Assemblies of God, about 7 months ago, pulled all the missionaries out of the country. And we were actually some of the last missionaries left in the country. And since then, we've been kind of on a roller coaster ride about what do we go do? Do we just quit missions? And a lot of praying, a lot of tears, a lot of struggles, and God began to direct us to the nation of Peru. And it's kind of interesting the way that God did it. About 2 years ago, he just told us to go to Cusco, Peru, and do a 3-week prayer walk. So we went to Cusco, Peru, and we walked up and down the streets of that city for 3 weeks, and we prayed, and that was it. And we left, and we really didn't think much else. Okay, that was good. Now what? But about a year ago, the Assemblies of God asked us if we would be the point people for an initiative called the Unreached People Group Initiative for all of Latin America. So when we began to investigate about the unreached people groups of Latin America, the largest unreached people group in Latin America is in Cusco, Peru, right where God had sent us to go pray. So that's kind of awesome. When I talk about unreached people groups, I'm talking not about people who have rejected the message of Christ. I'm talking about in Latin America, there are 16 million people who have never heard the gospel in a way that they can understand it enough to respond. So we still have 16 million people like that in Latin America. Here's the neat part. They speak about 320 different languages, because they're all mainly among tribal groups, some of them in the Amazon rainforest, some of them in the mountains, in all different parts of the country. So we have the task of raising up and training people to go and reach 320 different people groups who speak 320 different languages. Praise God. Now, we speak Spanish, and that is the business language. We can communicate with almost any of these groups in Spanish, but it's not their heart language. The message doesn't really get to their heart when you tell it to them in Spanish. So we are praying that God will begin to raise up people who will be willing to learn these new languages. And in order to do that, we had to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." We've been fighting with Spanish now for about 18 years. But in Cusco, Peru, they speak Quechua. I'm 55 years old, and I'm getting ready to pick up another language. That's the first one on the prayer request, church. All right? When you pick up this card, just say, "God, give them people something so that they can learn Quechua." Because part of the training that we're going to be doing is encouraging missionaries to learn the heart language of the people. And if I don't do it, I can't really encourage other people to do so. So pray for us that God will enable us to learn Cusco Quechua. Now in Cusco, there are 1.5 million people who speak this language. Cusco, the city of Cusco, there's a city of Cusco, there's a state of Cusco. The city of Cusco is at 11,000 feet of altitude. So we're going to go, we lived in the Amazon rainforest in Venezuela. Now we're going to 11,000 feet. That's like going from Louisiana to Colorado. So it's not everyone can live at 11,000 feet of altitude. In fact, in the history of the Assemblies of God, and I can only speak on what I know of our particular group, not one of the missionaries has ever been able to live in Cusco for more than a year because the altitude sickness got them and they had to go down to lower altitudes. That's number two on the prayer request, church. Pray for us that God will give us the ability to live at high altitude like that. I was born and raised in New Mexico. I was born at altitude. We've been to Cusco. We've stayed there for a number of weeks at a time and nothing ever happened. But we need God's grace to give us, to help us to be able to do so for a long period of time. So, language, live at altitude. Here comes another one. Look at your prayer card a minute. I don't know if you know anything about the history of South America, but the Inca Empire ruled all the way from Colombia down to Chile and Argentina, Bolivia, Ecuador, Peru, Colombia. A large portion of South America was ruled by the Incas. Their political capital was Cusco, Peru. Their spiritual capital was Machu Picchu. That is the big picture on the prayer card. That is where literally hundreds of babies were sacrificed to Isis, the god of the sun, and to Pachamama, Mother Earth. And I believe with all my heart that what happened those many hundreds of years ago in Machu Picchu still hold a stronghold over Latin America. I believe God wants to break these strongholds. Now, if you take your prayer card and turn it sideways like this, with the big part of the picture down, how many of you can see the face in the mountain? Look at the highest peak of the mountain as the nose. Do you see the face? That is what the Incas saw. That was a god in the mountain, and that is why they made Machu Picchu their spiritual capital. Church, the city of Cusco is about the size of the city of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. 43 jumbo jets a day land in that city, bringing people to do tourism. And you know what? They're coming to do spiritual tourism. We have watched them. They get off the plane and they go get witch doctors and they do rituals and they have them pray over them and they do all kinds of stuff. There are schools there that you can go to and learn about all kinds of New Age stuff and all kinds of witchcraft. Cusco is a stronghold over Latin America, church. Please pray that God is going to break that off of that place. Amen? We desire to plant more than 4,000 churches in the state of Cusco. When I say churches, it won't be a church like this. It'll be more like a home cell group of 10 to 12 people. But in the state of Cusco, we're told there's 5,000 villages, and among the 5,000 villages, only 200 of them have an evangelical witness. That leaves about 4,800 villages that do not have a church or an evangelical witness. We're asking God to give us, He's already given us ideas and strategies. We're asking Him to give us grace and favor and raise up workers so that we can plant 4,800 churches in among the Quechua of Cusco. And some of y'all are looking at me like I'm plumb crazy saying that, but you know what? I believe God has given us strategies, and I believe God wants to do it. Amen? But first, the strongholds need to be broken, and workers need to be raised up. You're a vital part of that. Thank you so much for your support, for your prayers. I believe that I'm in a praying church. I believe you're going to take these prayer cards home with you, and I believe that you're going to remember us and the work that God's called us to. So thank you so very much. You want to say something?
We believe in the power of prayer and of your prayer. We believe that the stronghold will be broken as people partner with us and pray. And the people will begin to see Jesus. The gospel has been in that area for a long time, but no one goes up into the mountains. People don't want to go into the harder places, the places where it takes a long time to get to. But as we pray and the strongholds are broken, people from all over the world are going to come and they are going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people are going to be set free. And those that are set free are then going to go. And it's going to go farther and farther and farther. And those 4,000 villages, I truly believe, are just going to be the beginning. Because it's going to reach all over Latin America and all over the world. These people that people think that are isolated and that they will never leave where they are, they will go wherever God tells them to go. And so it begins in prayer. Pray with us. Thank you.
Man, it's really exciting to me to have these heroes here. I mean, just think about that. How old did you say you were, Bob? 35? A little over 35, and he wants to learn a new language. I mean, I can't even remember my children's name at 51, you know? I want you to get excited about missions and missionaries. I want us truly to see them as, I want you to teach your children. This is what it's like to give everything. This is what it's like. When you think about orphanages, and we think about Jean and Tisa, who says, no, I don't want to call it an orphanage because we want to be family to them. You know, we want the way they want to love on them. And guys, we eat out. We buy stuff we don't need. Okay, I buy stuff. I buy shoes I don't need. I know. You know, there's so many ways that we can find to give to missions. And here at Life Fellowship, you know, we give a percentage right off the top to missions. And anytime you mark an offering, missions above your tithes, that goes to missions. That goes to our heroes. And tonight, even tonight, here's what I want you to do tonight. If you think these guys are awesome and you love and you believe in what they're doing, first of all, we're going to pray for them in a few moments. And that's not cliche. If you'll take this and maybe take a piece of paper, too, and put Jean and Tisa Nicole's name on your refrigerator and put this on your refrigerator, you will think to pray for them. I have Christmas cards from years ago of people who have sent me things that it's still on my refrigerator, and it reminds me to pray for them. That's no small thing. But tonight, when you say hello to them and you love on them, there's two different ways you can do this. You can either put it in the offering and market missions, or I've been here a year and a half, and I'm not sure that we have a lot of new Christians, by the way, to our missionaries. We have a lot of people. You may not know what a Pentecostal handshake is. But a Pentecostal handshake is when you shake somebody's hand, and when they pull it back, they have some money in it. I want you to know, as a pastor, I love Pentecostal handshakes. Especially when I was a youth pastor, because I needed those so much. You guys take care of me wonderfully, but you know, that's one way you can say, we love you, go do what I can't do, And I want you to be sure we give to them tonight. So either in the offering plates or in the offering boxes, or if you give to them personally. And of course, we're going to give them an honorarium. And I just want you to understand how this works, okay? Because I know there's a lot of you who don't. So we support Gene and Tisa monthly. So part of your giving, every time you give an offering, we take part of that and we support missionaries like Gene and Tisa. Now, Bob and Lisa, we don't, see, y'all can pray for them. I mean, that's going to stick, right? Y'all going to come to your prayer room, Lord. Now, we're going to give Bob and Lisa an offering tonight, but here's something else that's cool, and I know it's got to be cool to them. I've never been in their position, but we're going to add them to our monthly giving. So it's so important that you remain faithful in your tithes and offerings. I'll be honest with you. If we just tithe and give offerings, we don't even need missions offerings. We'll have enough to give to missionaries, and we can take care of anybody that comes through here. Bam, drop the mic. So I do want you to be encouraged tonight and be excited that you're part of what's going on. Now, here's a cool thing, too. You not only can you be involved through prayer and through giving, and you know what, we have some different, all missionaries are different. I just want you to know, as a pastor stuff, we know missionaries are different. But I wonder if missionaries get together and go, man, those pastors are different. You know, I mean, it's true. Do y'all know that? You know, we talk about you like that. But these guys haven't brought a table. They haven't brought anything. I mean, I was like, Bob, what do you have? He's like, well, we got a prayer card. And, you know, Gene and Tisa are like, they're just telling you what they're doing. And they're asking us to buy in. No smoke, no mirrors, no big hoorah. You know, I'm sorry. You thought that? No. I mean, not that any missionaries use that. I'm referring to pastors on that kind of stuff. But, man, I just feel in my spirit, listen, every missionary we support, and everybody we can, we're connected with them in our spirit. And I so want you to keep that connection tonight. That's why we have nights like tonight. Now, here's another thing. Some of these guys said, hey, maybe you can come see us. We're going to do that. We're going to offer you a missions trip as a church, and we're going to take missions trips, and we're going to expand your world. And one of the guys speaking, I don't remember who it was, they said, it will change your life. So there was a young man that came to me a few months ago and said, Pastor Keith, I'm a student at Nichols, all right? Y'all heard of that school around here? There is other schools besides LSU in the state. And he said, I've been attending Chi Alpha. He grew up right here in this church. You may or may not know him. And he said, we're going on a missions trip. And I said, cool, man. I want to support him. So I gave to his ministry so he could go. And he went and visited the Atlanta Dream Center. And it's Justin Mullins. And Justin, come on up here. And we want to give him a couple of minutes. Now, here's the deal. These are heroes because they're full-time missionaries, but Justin is he's majoring in education, and you know what? To me, he's a hero just like you guys are because he's living for Jesus in what he does, and whether he stays in education because he's all messed up now because he's been on a missions trip, and God's messing with him really bad. And I told him before he left, I was like, this is going to change your life. And he came back and said, Pastor Keith, I got to talk to you. This has changed my life. I was like, so Justin, tell us something about your trip, man.
One of the things that I experienced the most was how much you can change somebody's day by just talking to them. A lot of the things that we did was we went to people that wouldn't necessarily be talked to by the everyday public. They used this metaphor, simile. They said that the people we're going to see are like pennies, You know, usually you wouldn't stop on the ground to pick up a penny off the ground because it doesn't mean that much to you. And so a lot of these homeless people on the streets of Atlanta, the people don't generally walk up to them and say, "Hey, how's your day going?" Give them something to eat. And so that's some of the things that we did. We did this one night where we went to one of the biggest homeless shelters in Atlanta, and we just walked around handing out food and water to the homeless people around there, and just talking to them, asking them if they need prayer, and just trying to see how their day was. And so doing that, I got to see a lot of people change. I got to see a lot of people who weren't smiling before we walked up, and by the time we leave, they had the biggest smile they could have on their face because we'd stopped for them. And so one of the things that I learned on the trip was how important it is to just love on people and how much of a difference that can make in their life.
Man, that's awesome. What was that first sentence? I learned what a difference it can make just to speak to somebody. Is that what you said? All right, I'm going to ask him to say the first sentence that you said again. What was that? You learned what a difference it would make to speak to somebody, yeah, or to smile to somebody. You know, we talk about these guys that are going to different countries and they're our heroes, and we think, man, that's the ultimate sacrifice. But every day we have a chance to be a missionary. And you know what? Justin's a hero too. Thank you, Justin. That, if you don't, I said Atlanta Dream Center, and a lot of you don't know what that is. Those are the original Dream Center. If Trey or some of the worship team would come. The original Dream Center was in California, started by Matthew Barnett, I think, and now they're all over the country, and they're basically healing stations and places where the homeless and the down and out, and some of the Dream Centers offer education and medical help, and it's just amazing what can be done by the body of Christ if we join together and do that. Now, here's what I want us to do. If you will stand. And we're going to go a little bit over tonight. If you're a parent and you need to slip out or anything, that's fine. But if our missionaries would come, if you don't mind, guys, if you would just come stand up here in the front. And I know we haven't planned it tonight, but if maybe a couple of our prayer team members, if you're available, if you just come stand up here in the front also. Man, I love it when God speaks to somebody ahead of time, like he did to Gene. And he said, you know what, here's what I want. You guys can just spread out. Boy, man, I asked for prayer team members, and we got like tons. That's awesome. Thank you guys for being willing. Gene, give me that word of knowledge again.
For anyone that's been in a car accident and you're still suffering some type of symptoms from the car accident, specifically headaches, and other trauma in your body. I believe that God wants to heal that tonight. And also for those that are have trouble with sleeping disorders and those that are woken in the middle of the night. Sometimes it can be the spirits or something, but I believe God wants to heal some people and deliver some people tonight.
And I'm excited about that. I will be in the prayer line in a moment. That's me. The sleep one is me. I'm just telling you. So if anything else, not just Gene, but Bob and Lisa or any of these prayer teams, I just feel this tonight. There's faith in the house. I feel the Holy Spirit in here. He's with us. Maybe you're visiting tonight. Whatever you're facing, I know that there are people here in need. And just as you've been touched by missionaries who are giving everything, you know what? Jesus wants to give to you tonight. And it's okay. It's okay to come and receive. So in a moment, I'm going to dismiss you, probably dismiss you a little differently than I usually do. We're going to stay in a solemn atmosphere. But if you need prayer or want prayer, please stay. Stay in line, whatever you need to do, because God is here to move tonight. Now, I've told you about red letter days on the calendar when I was a kid. When I was a kid, the calendar was marked with special days in red letters. If it was a big day or a holiday, it was a red letter day. And I'm telling you, I feel in my spirit that tonight is a red letter night. That if you will come and believe God in the name of Jesus, it's not these prayer people, but you just come in faith and let them agree with you that this will be a spiritual red letter day. You pray for a loved one, pray to be free from addiction, pray for your healing, whatever it is, pray for your finances. And I believe God's going to move tonight. May God bless you and keep you this week. May He give you favor and prosper you so that you can be a benefit and an asset to the kingdom of God. We love you. God loves you. If you need prayer, please come and get prayer.